It's Brian from The High Spot. We actually were lucky enough to run into a good friend of ours, Matt Fox, who was actually on the very first episode of The High Spot that we aired. And we were able to sit down, find an empty studio and talk. And we actually kind of spoke about things that are a little bit different. We weren't talking about sports or just general nonsense like we usually talk about when we all meet up and catch up. We were actually talking about the whole presidential political race that was going on that has everybody tuning their TVs or listening to the radios about. So what you're going to be listening to is pretty unique because Matt Fox not only does great work with music from the Fox Experience, and a lot of music you probably heard of his would be possibly, you know, the New York Jets themes that you've heard on WFAN or in a plethora of media outlets out there. We actually sat down with Matt and we spoke about, you know, Donald Trump. We spoke about the Republican Democratic race and what was going on and who we thought was going to be president. So pretty interesting when we all sit together in a room and how we are very similar and yet also very different in how we think. So I hope you guys will enjoy it. I know Jeff and I did, and I can only speak for Matt. It's always great to have him in the studio and just talk and catch up with him because it's a while since we all got a chance to hang out. So that's what we're going to be listening to. Again, a lot of things coming in the near future. We have a website possibly coming up, a YouTube. Well, not possibly. All these things are going to happen. Just a matter of being patient with us, and we appreciate you all being patient with us. So I sat alongside my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, with Matt Fox about the presidential debate and races going on. So hope you guys enjoy it. Again, hit us up on Twitter at High Spot Podcast for any comments or any suggestions. We love hearing from you guys, and we appreciate it, all right? So I hope you guys enjoy it, and we will talk to you later.
I've seen him. I haven't seen him. Like, I see him like every 2 months, basically, and he's always wearing the same shirt, Ron Burgundy.
He must have like a lot of those shirts.
I wear this when I like to inflate my fake authority. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not fake. It's just minimal authority.
And if you could, you could actually grow the mustache like Ron Burgundy. So
I'm about to shave this. This thing's really annoying. I don't know how you do this. Like, I feel like I have like a little rat on my lip. It's annoying.
Oh, man.
And I do the Jeff thing, but then I look kind of Amish. Like, there's no mustache.
Yeah, I can't grow this.
I wish mine could connect, and I could do, like, a legitimate goatee.
It would be great. If I could connect this, I would be the man. But, no, this looks...
Jeff, you are the man.
This looks pretty bad.
Stop it. You are
And
the
as our boy Mitch Lawrence walks by, and
very importantly, okay, because I don't know where the time is on this, but I want to squeeze this in if we can.
Okay, squeeze it.
Do we have time?
Squeeze it.
Squeeze.
Yeah.
We'll squeeze. Do you think that Donald will be the nominee, Jeff?
Yeah, that's what we want to get into because
I know your feelings on this man, and I'm curious.
And I want to hear your feelings on this too. So that's why I had to come here and I had to discuss this with you. What? First of all, before you get my take, I want to hear what your take is because I think he takes unnecessary hits by the media, and so does most of the Republican candidates. And I want to hear what your take is so far on where we stand to this point right now. What are your thoughts on this whole election? And if you want to chime in on Trump, which I know you have a couple of thoughts on, go right ahead.
I think I'll start with your media comment. I think it's very valid to say that the media scrutinizes Republicans more than Democrats. I don't think there's a question about that. I have no doubt about that. However, they also say dumber things than Democrats tend to say. Like, Ben Carson's talking about them storing grain in the pyramids, and I have trouble. I think most secular people have trouble dealing with the concept of a neurosurgeon who believes, like, Jesus was riding dinosaurs and stuff. Like, he believes, like, the Earth's 6,000 years old, a lot of this stuff, and, like, he dismisses a lot of aspects of evolution. And, like, it's fine to be Christian, but if you're going to be president, I think you have to have more... You have to at least appear to be accepting of science. So I think people see Ben Carson, like the media, right? And they just like doing, like pointing out hypocrisies or inconsistencies in his beliefs. With Donald Trump, I think economically he'd be good because I think he's an independent. I don't think he's a Republican. I think he's not held to any ideology. I think he's very pragmatic.
And what people don't harp on, there's no special interest group behind
that's,
him. There is
that's
nothing
the best part about
and,
him, yeah.
And what he wants, there's nobody telling him, well, look, this is what you can do. We're not gonna fund you if you don't go by it. No, because his heart's in the right place because you know what? I really believe in my heart that he wants to make this country back to what it used to be.
I think I think you're right. I don't think he's doing it for a show. People think he's doing it for his ego. I mean, he's probably doing it somewhat for his ego. But I think he genuinely has an ego.
Democrat, Republican, it's about ego because you or anybody.
No, I disagree. I think there's one man who really doesn't care about his ego. I think Bernie Sanders really doesn't care.
Oh, wow.
He's my Jew from Brooklyn, by the way. Black Lives Matter, okay?
Representing, y'all.
Yeah, no, Donald and Bernie are my two favorites. The issue with both of them is I love half of them, and the other half, I think they're insane. I think Trump talks about all the spending. He's like, and we're going to just make the biggest, baddest military we've ever had. And he's like, no one will mess with us again. I'm like, people don't mess with us because they look at our military, which spends 10 times more than the country in seconds military here. I think it's China or something. We spend far more. No one messes with us because they think our military is weak. It's not like our capabilities. All that is to me is weapons makers getting more money to build, you know, aircraft carriers and sending guns to Syria that end up being used against us. To me, that doesn't help. So he wants to cut taxes. I love that. His plan is pretty good. I like it, but then you can't. He doesn't know
what bothers you more. His foreign policy. Come on.
Yes, easily his foreign policy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Like you could just. He's like, where do you get your foreign policy? Well, I listen to like John Bolton, who was George Bush's ambassador to the UN. I'm like, great. So his number one advisor is a George Bush ambassador, because that foreign policy was fantastic.
Okay, but does Obama know anything about foreign policy with that deal with Iran that he just signed?
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. We're squeezing time, so I'm going to get to this quickly.
No, we're fine.
No, we're done.
You sure?
Please.
Yeah, you look like you want
to.
Okay. I argue this. I did too. I was going to go before it. Let's set this
politics
up.
Gets me antsy.
Okay, here's my feeling on the Iran deal. Is it a good deal? No, not really. But you had two choices. You could either shun the deal while the rest of the world signs the deal, right? And go at it alone again. That worked out so well in Iraq, right? Or you could get the international community behind you and go along with the deal. So when the deal is broken, you have the entire world behind you and with you to not only sanction Iran again, but to go after them and do whatever you need to do. Because this is what I'm saying. Let's say the U.S. did not do the deal. Russia and China were removing their sanctions from Iran regardless of what we did. So they were going to get hundreds or $100 billion, $75, whatever that is, of money yearly because the sanctions would be lifted, whether we were involved or not. So all we would be doing is throwing a little bit of a hissy fit and taking our ball and going home while there's still a basketball game going on because someone else has a ball. You know what I mean? It wouldn't really help us. I look at it this way. It's a crappy situation. It's going to come to a head eventually, unfortunately. I'd rather have the entire world with us, you know, as opposed to being divided, which could create another world war, as opposed to the countries being united and then just going after this one country.
All right. So, Matt knows his facts, Brian. You could say, you can agree with me, he knows his facts. Me and you are like the novice that listen to, you know, the political channels and we read the newspaper, but we're not like into like, you know, we don't know the facts that happened between Iran and U.S. We don't know the background stories. We don't know the history. You know,
I'll tell you the history. In 1954, the United States overthrew their government and put in the Shah of Iran because we wanted to completely exploit their natural resources and take their oil at incredibly profitable prices. And then in the late 70s, 79, they had a revolution, overthrew the government. That's when you had like the Argo stuff, and they had a crisis with all our diplomats being held hostage. Yeah. Then they put in the Ayatollah. And this insanely, you know, much more religious, non-secular group. And because of what we did in 1954, they don't trust us and they freaking hate us. Now, they're crazy. They say death to Israel and death to America. I agree. It's horrible. But you just mentioned the history. They have very valid reason for not trusting us. So I understand that. And it's kind of, we made our own bed in a bit of a way here. We kind of tried manipulating the beehive in the 50s. And then the bees started to gather like 20-something years later and sting us. And they're like these crazy bees. We have to do something about it. It's like, I mean, you did touch the beehive first. They didn't come out of the beehive till you touched it.
I love Matt Fox's metaphors.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Dude, wait till I use these in my social.
You should be a history teacher.
I am. What are you thinking of doing?
No, but not just about Iran and U.S., but, you know, just a bunch of stuff that, you know, I'm watching. you know, the politics and I'm watching the TV shows and, you know, that's how I get informed. And, you know, sure. I don't have the time to look at the, you know, history books and stuff like that. But again, you're well informed of all this stuff. So, like, if I were to combat you, it'd just be on stuff that I'm seeing right here. But what I believe, though, is, and, you know, just that this presidency has been horrible. And to me, I think that not only have I witnessed it, but I've seen it from Obamacare, from everything, from the, taking executive action on a bunch of things. And what gets to me is, for example, and to me, my main gripe is with the media, because, for example, Donald Trump said a few weeks back that Carly Fiorina didn't have the face to be president, right? Mm-hmm. And he gets blasted for it. Gets blasted for it in the debate. And that's what we focus on, right? Yet the women on The View come on and they call her demented and they talk about her face and it's a joke. So to me, and then she comes on and, you know, and mad respects to Carly Fiorina for being ladylike and not losing it on these women because, you know, she would look presidential. So my thing is, to me, is they make such a big deal when Trump does end because everyone is against him. And to me, it's just so unfair. It is.
I think it's a valid point. I think it's a combination of. I don't think the media goes out of their way to do it. I think
I think
they inherently think they're being fair. They're just I have a professor who said something to me, and it's very true. There is no such thing as non-biased journalism. Even the most objective person who tries to be objective.
I agree with that, too.
You take Jake Tapper on CNN. I think he's the best journalist you'll find on television. I genuinely think he's like one of the last ones who tries to be down the middle. He's still biased, though, because everyone comes from some perspective. Everybody. A journalist from the United States is going to be different than a journalist from Peru or from Iran. Well, definitely Iran. You know what I mean? But like, they come from different places. So I don't think they don't see their hypocrisy. I think both sides don't see their hypocrisy. I think Republicans saying we don't want the government involved in our fiscal affairs, but we want the government involved in, you know, abortion choices and marriage and all these things are hypocritical. I think Democrats who say the opposite are completely hypocritical about, oh, we're liberal, and then they're authoritarian about speech and political correctness and all that, like complete hypocrisy. So I don't think either side genuinely looks at themselves in the mirror enough. I think when the media tends to be more liberal people, creative people, as someone does music, creative people are without question more liberal. Because you have to think out of the box. You're not a conservative mind. You're not really kind of held down to earth.
Like 2 years ago, I would talk to Matt, and I would like, wow, I really agree with him. And then you seem to do like a
no. This is
you seem to do like a 180.
Conservatives
on me.
Think I'm a liberal. Liberals think I'm a conservative.
And then I'm like, wait
I'm
a minute. And I would sometimes leave the room thinking, wait a minute, this is not the same guy I talked to like a couple years ago.
Well, here's the difference I've had with conversations with Matt. Basically, the thing that I enjoy talking with Matt about, especially, I'm not somebody who generally likes to talk about politics, just because I feel, and we've had the discussion, Matt, before, where I feel like. When you talk to anybody about anything, whether it's religious beliefs, whether it's...
He educates you about it, too.
Not just he educates you, but at least Matt has the ability to see things from the other side.
Yeah.
And he might not agree with you, but at the same time, Matt and I always agree to disagree. We had a conversation once where he's like, Brian, you don't really debate me much. And it was really irking. I'm like, well, I wasn't, like, never came up about sports or anything like that. And I told him straight up, flat out, I was like, I don't do it because I don't want to waste my time. Because if somebody doesn't have the capacity to see it from another perspective, or at least be respectful from that other perspective, what's the point? We're just wasting each other's time bantering back and forth, and it might lead to fisticuffs. So
that's the problem, though. I'm a big believer in the Socratic method. Okay, so Socrates had this idea that if we debate enough and ask each other enough questions and just don't stop, eventually we will come to a middle ground. And we are so incredibly divided as a society today. Everyone's in their corner. No one's willing to hear the other side. They just go to their corner and use the talking points and whatever. And I feel like the only way to come together is to air out issues. And I mean, I don't look to educate, but a lot of people don't know a lot of stuff. And I think it's so important to know.
And you're willing to be educated yourself because you don't claim out to know everything either.
No, so the smartest people I know admit they know nothing.
Exactly.
The people who think they know everything are the dumbest people I know, without question in my experience, because life is gray. The truth is in the gray. You have the truest thing I've heard is there's three sides to everything. There's your side, my side, and the truth. Nobody looks at it the same. History is the exact same thing. We look at history one way. Our opponents or other people look at it another way. So when we debate, I think there's just people take it, first of all, too personally. Just because you have different ideas doesn't mean you're bad people. Just because someone doesn't agree with the concept of welfare doesn't mean they're a heartless, cold, you know, bigot.
And that's
another
thing.
That's what they want to call you. They want, oh, well, you just don't like black people. Well,
that's another thing, too. You know? What bothers me, too, is he's allowed to have his belief. I'm allowed to have my belief. We're the same person. He's not better than me because he believes one thing and I do one thing. And what this country does now is that if you're not in the majority of what you believe, then you're outcast and shunned. Even if it is an old fashioned values, or it's wrong, or it's not considered politically correct now.
Well, nothing now you're shunned. Politically correct.
And that's what bothers me too. That's another thing that bothers me too.
I part of the new wave of issues going on, and I see it, and I know you guys deal with this because you're Catholic. Is Christian values are coming to a head with secular American values, like gay marriage and things like that. I am not religious. I tend to be on the right side. But then everyone should have the right to practice their religion at the same time. My issues are, because like you said, you think I'm a classical liberal. But that's not what liberal means anymore. Classical liberal is basically like a libertarian in many ways now.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase it. The left likes to kind of, they demonize Christianity, right? Because it's been so, I guess, powerful in the Western world. But I see them defend Islam to such an extent that it's dishonest, because they attack Christianity and things like gay marriage, yet they don't seem to have problems with, like, Saudi Arabia chopping women's hands off if they drive, or doing these horrible things to young girls over, like, they, oh, well, that's their values. Don't tell them what to do. But when it's Christians saying things, oh, they're just Bible-thumping you-know-what. Now, I'm not particularly a fan of any of those religions. However, you have the right to believe them. And I just believe in liberal values, meaning if you're going to believe in freedom of speech, right, and women's rights,
which in my opinion doesn't really exist anymore,
but how can you defend, extreme versions of Islam? You know what I mean? Like not usually in this country. Generally, they're more moderate and secular in this country. But like across the world, you see complete dismissal of serious human rights issues. Yet at home, Christians are attacked on a daily basis. And I empathize with you for that, because I don't think it's fair. You know what I mean? So that's why I genuinely try to come at it from an objective, impartial view. You know, I try to just stick to the facts and be rational. And I have debates with people, and it's incredible how people will change.
Yeah, Matt, but wouldn't you say, though, you say you try to stay objective, which I think is a rare trait for anybody to be nowadays. But, you know, and you try to stick with the facts, but even facts like that can be easily manipulated. People will use facts in terms of, like, you know, history and use it and spin it in their own way, which anybody can do in anything. Like, for example, Jeff just mentioned, like, oh, I spoke to Matt 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was really strong on this point of view. And then, you know, before I know, he changed his mind. Now, I don't see that as a term of, oh, you're flipping back and forth.
No, I didn't say flip.
Do you have an example, by the way? Do you remember what it was?
No, I wasn't
you know what
you
we're talking.
You know,
I think what really got me the most is when we were talking about all the
was it immigration?
No. We'll get on immigration too, but no, I think it was with the protesters. I think that really got me was like, whoa, wait a minute, with the protesting, with the whole in Missouri. The issue.
Oh, the first.
The Ferguson.
I'll give you a perfect example.
I'm sorry. Right. Who's the.
Michael Brown got killed in Ferguson.
Who's the one that got killed where they all put the hoodies up and everything like that?
Oh, Trayvon Martin.
See, we have different views on that. He's more.
No, I was not nearly as into pro Trayvon stuff at that time. I thought George Zimmerman's a complete, like, just a horrible person, as we've witnessed now after he got off and he's been arrested like 4 times for beating his girlfriends with his gun.
You can't defend it.
So you just see what he's really like, probably. But I thought they were both, like, I didn't know enough to get up in arms about that. I thought, you bring up the Ferguson thing, I thought Michael Brown was the worst person to use as an example of this police problem. I thought Eric Garner in Staten Island, that really pissed me off what happened to him. And I was about to freaking march. I had to work, but I was going to go downstairs when they were down here. I really wanted to. I was so close to. And then that whole movement has just become, instead of holding, like, police accountable, and that's what I want, is hold authority accountable, it's now turned into Black Lives Matter, and it's become a divisive issue as opposed to what I wanted, which was more like cops wearing cameras, which is happening, which is important.
I think people try to be more divisive than try to bring people together.
I think the media does that. The media does that because it gets, but see, here's the thing. I don't think they do it as nefariously as we think. Like, oh, they just want to do. I think it's as simple as the more divided you are, the more ratings they get, the more they can make you take sides.
It's just wrong, man. It just is.
They're rewarded for the wrong things.
I mean, and the very same news station.
Which is sometimes why I don't watch it anymore. The very same, I don't even read about it because it's hard to sometimes comprehend. Yeah.
CNN,
digest.
They blast the Republicans, MSNBC, but yet they have their shows on, they have the debates on, and they profit from commercials and advertising. And it's because, you know what? Republicans, it's a hot topic, and they're on their platform, and again, that it just shows you the skewedness.
You brought
of the
up
media.
Something really good in terms of that, the debates. You saw the one that happened on MSNBC,
joke.
Right?
It's
CNBC,
a joke.
Yeah. It was a joke.
Wait, which CNBC you mean?
CNBC. I thought it was MSNBC.
The last one, yeah.
Yeah, the last one. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that a perfect example too of like the mediators and the media just basically trying to manipulate questions to the point of that?
Here's my problem.
They have their issues and their standpoints when they should be actually partial.
They're being scolded up there, Matt.
Some of those questions were ridiculous. Like, you can't ask a candidate, is this like a cartoon campaign?
It was combative.
However, I don't mind combative because they should be challenged.
From the mediator?
Let me explain. They should be challenged, right? Because if you're a Republican, right, and you want to vote for your nominee, you want to know if he could handle hardball questions before he's president or before he's the nominee for president, right? You don't want softballs in the primary, and then he gets to a national debate, and they're not going to give him softballs, but and then he's, you know, just like I'll put it this way. My biggest issue with that debate was how unprofessional they were, in the sense that, like, she says something Donald Trump says, right? Yes. You had a problem with Marco Rubio's tax plan or immigration plan, whatever it was. I never said that.
We never get to see any
I never
of the plans
said
because
that.
They don't.
No, he says, I never said that. Her response is, where did I see that? You can't go into moderating a debate and not have your sources next to you when you use a quote. Turns out, he not only said that, it's on his website, what this was, that he denied. He lied. But because she was not prepared, she looked like a complete incompetent idiot. And that made the rest of them look bad. And then you had that guy asked Trump that cartoon question, which made him look stupid. And then once Cruz went off on the thing.
Which
was
props
funny.
To him.
They actually,
him a prop
they actually asked him
amazing.
A real question, though. They're like, what would you do with the debt limit? I'm sick of these questions not being about the economy. It's like, that's literally an economic question. They asked you about the debt limit.
Well, I'm sorry, but you
No, I'm
sit
just saying
there
it's ironic.
You,
I'm just saying it's ironic he picked that question to go off on. They finally did ask him the economic question. But I understand. And then, like, you know, they asked the fantasy football thing, which was just an easy little tea job for
I mean,
Chris Christie.
And then you have Democrats up there. They're all like, you know, once Bernie Sanders says, I'm not attacking her on emails, was like, well, you know what? They might as well here. You might as well present her with the nomination
that was
right
it.
Now.
That's exactly what happened.
And it was a love fest.
That's why
and
I say he's not about
was,
ego, though. If he was about ego, he would have done that. He's not about ego. I genuinely believe he just wants to bring the issues to the forefront and pull her more to the left. He's made her more to the left. She's going against the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal, which is essentially our trade deals with Asia. They take all the tariffs out and ship jobs overseas. That's the gist of it. And businesses love it, and unions don't like it. So Hillary went from loving this thing to now saying she's against it. Now, what has changed in 3 or 4 years since she was for it, other than a socialist running against her? That's it. So she has to become more progressive, so to speak. And that, I think that's really what he's doing. I don't think he realistically believes he could be. Deep down, I don't think he believes that. I think he knows what he's doing in that sense.
Basically Hillary is already kind of crowned
it's easily
the nominee,
it's
and we're just waiting to see what's
I
going
on. I bet you it's
going to
be Rubio. I don't like him at
really?
All. I don't like him. He's going to be no different than George W. Bush. He's going to be exactly the same. He's going to be a neocon who just gets told what to do, and we're going to go to war with Syria soon, and he's going to open the borders and all this stuff. He'll do everything the network, I call them, which is just the biggest money and the people who pull the strings want.
He feels going to be Rubio and Hillary. Going
unfortunately,
at it.
I.
And then Rubio stands no chance.
If it was Trump, I'd at least consider voting for Trump versus Hillary, because I'd rather not vote than vote for Hillary Clinton.
So you think anybody else who goes up against her, if it's not Trump, doesn't have a shot against her?
No, I think Rubio actually probably could beat her.
No, besides Rubio, I meant.
Oh,
say like Ted Cruz got up there.
Who'd be your top right now? Who are you top four? Who are your top four candidates, Republican candidates
that I want
right now? Right now, that you view are in like you know
that you think are
the only one I generally would have supported was Rand Paul. He has no chance. So Trump's probably. I think Trump and Rubio are like 50-50.
50-50.
And Trump's biggest thing is he just can't say anything. He says so many insane things and gets away with it. So I'm like, just don't say anything stupid. But he, you
good
know,
luck.
like Ben Carson, he's like, you could tell he's not
means
a
well, and
yeah,
everything,
but
don't
say
don't...
things like I tried to hit my mother on the head with a hammer, or I tried to stab my cousin. And, like, I get you're trying to say that you know the Bible and Christianity saved your life, but don't voluntarily tell people these
I
things.
Think the first debate he got me, okay, I was like, okay, wow, he really you know shined, but as the whole thing's gone on and on, the campaign's gone on, he just says some weird things that you just like, whether he's been egged to say it or whether, you know, and then he takes time out of the campaign to do a media, a book tour and all that, and I don't know if he's been egged on, but he just says some weird things that has totally, like, to me, diminished from the first time I saw him in the debate.
What do you guys feel? I mean, you've made it clear that Trump sometimes says some stupid things, Ben Carson too. I mean, all politicians, I think, say some dumb stuff when they're on the podium or just talking about anything in general, but... is it that important, you think, now in the day and age that we live in, Matt, that everybody has to worry now about being so politically correct that somebody can't really speak their mind now, like Donald
it
Trump?
Sucks.
Now, granted,
Donald Trump is
some
in
the
first
stuff
place
he says
only
is dumb.
Because of that. That is the only reason he's in first place is because people look at him and say, oh, my God, he just doesn't care.
And that's what, and probably that's what I feel,
that
but
I agree.
I can't
that's,
say it.
That, Jeff, you said it before. You were 100% right. He does. He says what he means.
And I have that on. We have that on tape.
We
so
that's
you
right.
are 100% right. Matt actually admitted for the
there
first time.
There needs to be a bed whenever he comes on. Jeff, you're absolutely right.
Yes.
Get the little sampler machine yeah. and keep doing it.
Exactly.
He says what he means. So no one looks at him and says, I mean, his record speaks for itself in terms of being a Democrat. So he doesn't. I don't genuinely think he's pro-life, for instance. I don't think that. I think he says that just to run for Republican.
And honestly... Like Trump says, I love women. I really love women. They're beautiful. But when's the last time abortion's been a big topic? Any big abortion law has been passed down in the last?
That's the
some
biggest
odd
problem.
Years
the because... media. The media acts as if you know these Republicans are going to overturn Roe v. Wade or something. You know what I mean? And it's just like they're allowed to have their opinion. Like everyone's allowed
what is
to have their
change?
Opinion.
I mean, geez.
But does it hurt to have a strong opinion? Like. For example, not caring, like we are on this podcast now, we don't care what we say. We're saying because we believe in what we're talking about. But yet there are other people that will probably listen to this or, you know, some of the candidates and be like, you know what, if they're president, they can't handle foreign affairs or speak to other countries. It's going to make us look bad. We already look bad regardless.
He already called China. Can I curse? Because he cursed.
Yeah,
ahead. He literally, when talking about China like a couple months ago, says, I'd say, listen, you motherfuckers. And he said this in a speech. But that's really not helpful when you go have to go negotiate, you know, climate change, you know, legislation, regulations with China, and you
Matt,
need
Matt,
them to
really,
help you
Matt,
with North
Matt,
Korea.
Matt, you're really worried. Matt, you're really worried about climate changes.
No, okay,
really...
well, let me ask a question. Who's the biggest?
I'm worried about the economy.
Right.
I'm worried
fine.
About immigration.
Fine. Let's talk about
and...
the economy. Who's the biggest supporter of North Korea? It's China. They get 90% of their oil and resources from China. When North Korea starts acting crazy and threatening to nuke us and hacking Sony and all these things, who do you think we call first? We call China. We say, put a lid on it. Take care of it. If you keep calling them motherfuckers and God knows what else I'll call them, I don't think that's helpful. I think there's a certain... there's a reason it's called politically correct. There's a reason the word politic is in it. It's for politicians. Because to be diplomatic, you have to get along with everybody. You can't necessarily be as real as you probably want to be sometimes. Now, the Donald, it works for him running for president because we're so sick of these phonies. That's why Jeb Bush is failing because his phone is... by the way, who would have thought he's the dumbest of all the Bushes?
I know.
Right? You know, so like I think that authenticity gets you so far. But when you are president, once again, you can't stand up there and just be as...
we need a change. We need something different.
That's my favorite thing. They say, Donald, what do you think about, like, you know, you don't like, you know, you're not interested in women's issues. I love women. My wife is into women's issues. Like, that doesn't help you when you say that. Like, my wife likes the issues. Like, that doesn't make you look like it. And I think the longer he's... but here's the problem. The longer he goes on, right? Now his competition is John Kasich, who has worked for Lehman Brothers. Or Jeb Bush.
Just blasted him pretty
or
good.
Jeb Bush. Or Carly Fiorina, who's a failed businesswoman. or Ben Carson, who says his ridiculous things or whatever. When his competition is Hillary Clinton, okay, and I agree she's the most calculated, fake, lying person.
I'm not worried.
She comes
off
as a rational, sane choice compared to what he's going to come off as. And that's what I would be afraid of if I was
you. No, because and here's my problem. There was, you know what, last election too, they could have attacked Obama and they could have done that, and I think that would have been great. I think, though, Trump has no problems attacking Hillary Clinton, and he would press her and he would back her to the wall, and I think that's what we need. We need a Republican to stand up, not like the last Republican
Romney,
like Romney. He could have he had a great first debate with Obama and he decided to fall back, and he could have pressed him, but he didn't, and that's when he lost all respect. To me, what I'm looking at Trump as is the businessman. I'm looking at Trump as the economy, and that's what I'm looking to more. I'm looking at U.S. first. I'm tired of us looking at other countries, and I'm worried about the U.S. I'm worried about, you know, the economy wise. I want to have a future. I want my kids to have a future, and that's what I'm looking for most. And also immigration. I don't want us to be becoming a dumping ground. And it's harsh, but it's the reality.
I think it's fair. Yeah.
And to piggyback off what you just said there too, it's like what we were talking about being politically correct, this is something I can't stand. Yes, mm-hmm. in a state of higher supremacy where you have to be talking, you know, professionally. Like, I could be throwing F-bombs left and right now during this podcast, but what happens, it makes me look less educated, makes me look as if I don't know how to hold a sentence or a conversation. Mm-hmm. But the thing with Donald Trump that I see is more he's saying what he wants to say, but how many times do we see other countries promote themselves out there that we see on the media all the way, whether it be CNN, NBC, or Fox News, and it's basically the same thing. They're bashing it. They're saying horrible things. Korea is saying horrible things to us mm-hmm. publicly for the world to hear, and yet it's bad if we do it.
But because we're the only country that thinks they're exceptional.
Yeah, but
American exceptionalism.
That mindset
has to
go pretty quick because it's dying out. It's of the old days of like
we're living
in
a
the
lie.
Old days
we're
like,
you know,
we make a handshake,
you
right?
You know what did that?
And that would be a bond between you. I promised you, I shook your hand, we're going to do this. That means nothing nowadays.
No. Okay. Has
to go
American
away.
Exceptionalism could be argued to still have existed, okay, in the 90s. You could still somewhat try to make that argument. George W. Bush literally erased like 70 years of international goodwill after World War II. He erased it by invading a country that was not guilty, by completely destabilizing a region that is now in the midst of chaotic hell. Okay, we caused all of this, and all of that goodwill is gone because now. And then we tortured. We had Abu Ghraib. We have soldiers raping people and burning people in Iraq at that, you know, one incident. It made us look like barbarians. And people looked at us and said,
George W. Bush.
George W. Bush.
Okay.
Yeah, H.W. was far more sane than his son.
Okay. But still, the other countries were upset enough with the United States prior to
right,
George
but
w.
now
Bush
they have
into Iraq.
Right,
and
but now they actually have ammunition that the whole world goes, oh yeah, remember that? Remember that? Like the last thing was like what, Vietnam? And who the hell cared about Vietnam other than, you know, communists in Southern Asia?
Yeah, but I'm saying that even like other countries' views of the United States were still bad around that time anyway. Before the whole war in Iraq and Afghanistan started, that, you know, that just added on to the whole, you know, laundry list of things that other countries hate the United States for. So, yeah, you're granted, it destroyed a lot of stuff. And I would have to agree with you then, yeah. But at the same time, if it's already broken,
we've done, yeah.
If you're not in a relationship, right, and Matt, you just don't.
Right. You keep cheating on
me
and stuff like that.
Let me give an example.
I'm the dumb
let me give
fool
you,
to say that, Matt, you know, that sweet piece of ass, Matt, can go somewhere else. I'm sorry, I had to say it.
He's a sweet piece of ass.
I mean, I'm impressed. I got him to even use like a baby curse. You know, I'll give you an example. Okay, I actually just learned more about this in one of my graduate history classes. Okay, did you ever hear of the dirty war in Argentina? I'll give you this example.
Sounds like a drink.
Okay, it was a dirty war. After Castro and all the stuff with communist Cuba and all this, we basically tell Latin America, you're either going to help us fight communists at every turn, or you're either with us or against us. Sounds a lot like Bush with the terrorists, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So all these oppressive Latin American regimes come, a lot of military coups and whatnot. In 1976, a military coup happens in Argentina, and a dictatorship somewhat forms, okay? 30,000 people were disappeared, gone, just killed, thrown away. The words were banned. Couldn't say revolution, couldn't say science. Teachers were thrown in jail simply for being teachers. That was considered subversive, okay? Because they didn't want extra thinking or people who were into politics. The moment that coup took over in 1976, guess who started supporting them? The United States. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, starts loaning them money. American businesses start making investments. We propped up all of these dictators. People don't know about this stuff unless you care enough about history and read it. But everyone knows about the Iraq War in 2003. Everyone knows they did not have weapons of mass destruction. You know what I mean? Everyone knows this is more common knowledge. So now you don't need to have read a history book or take a graduate history class. You just know that the United States has lied. You know what I mean? I could go back to the Gulf of Tonkin, which started Vietnam. We lied. We said our U-boat got blown up by the Vietnamese. It was a lie. It never actually happened. You know what I mean? So this, it just made it mainstream. You know what I mean? It was detrimental. So when you say our standing in the world, I agree. And I agree with his nativist attitude that can we stop caring so much about the rest of the world and care about us? Totally agree. And there's like a progressive shaming of that. Like you're just such a, you know, narcissist and you only care about, you know, like white people. Okay, that's why I love you guys, because you disprove all of this stuff. You're like you're anti-immigration, but you're both Hispanic because you did it the right way.
We did it the right way. We're here.
Right.
We have documented and,
you know, but here's the counter argument. Okay. Here's the counter argument to that. And I'll leave you with this. I'm going to leave you with this hypothetical question. I'm not going to answer this. This is just for you to think about, okay?
Okay.
We agree. I agree the border should be more secure, and we should be far less accepting of this illegal immigration. It's, you know, no more sanctuary cities or whatnot. However, I just told you, for instance, the story about Argentina, right? This happened throughout almost every Latin American country. Because of these brutal dictatorships and regimes that we help prop up and support, these people left that country and came here, a lot of them. So we, in a way, almost brought it upon ourselves. So let me ask you, do we deserve it still? Is this of our own making? Do we allow it because the real question is, do we allow it because we kind of had a hand in creating it?
I don't think so.
I'm just saying, but that's what a lot of people argue, is because, like, I hear the liberal point of view is, we kind of drove them here, though. It'd be kind of messed up to throw them back.
Look, do I believe that Trump will come in and then take out the 15 million immigrants?
I mean, he can't do that. That's just silly when he says that.
To me, some of the stuff
in a movie, maybe you could do that.
But the thing is to keep the borders complete now, not let people come over the border. And
I think
more
people are focused on the fact that he's going to export every illegal immigrant in the United States, the way he's going to do it, makes it look bad worse that his main priority is to secure the borders to make sure that, you know, I think it's kind of a crisis we're having right now is taken care of and finally people are addressing that. But it, like what Matt was talking about, if we had a hand in somehow driving them out, okay, you see it from that perspective. But at the same time, I see and I witness it every single day of my life, maybe more than most people, but I see every day certain people in that situation have been driven out, whether it be from a dictatorship or a communist country or just a country to have somehow a better future, sending money back to the original place where they were and obviously trying to take as much. It's like basically we were talking before. You're trying to take the resources of somebody else because you want to use up your own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the feeling that I'm
getting.
Matt,
my problem is that if I want to go work in Mexico as a U.S. citizen, I can't. I can't come in there, and I have to document myself, become a Mexican citizen before I can even get a job there.
Why does it work for everybody else?
But let me ask you a question.
Okay, and then I am not heartless. I understand the struggles.
Forget heartless. I'm completely, just as a completely rational, pragmatic, you know, just think rationally and pragmatically for a second, okay? You throw every illegal immigrant out, okay? Every single one. Do you want to really pay $30 for one apple? Because that's what's going to happen. They are exactly the people who do all the the shit that Americans do not want to do. It's a fact. You will pay far more for produce. The help in nursing and on elder care will skyrocket. That'll affect your insurance. because they'll have to start getting proper, you know, authentications and whatever else you'll need, and you know they'll unionize and all
that.
These.
I'd rather do that than support. Of something actually worse coming than we're dealing with right now.
I'm saying the
value of the dollar is diminished tremendously.
And those are, well, the dollar is not really related to that part, but I agree with you about the jobs. I totally agree because. 100%.
I'd rather pay $30 for a Apple than to pay for them having babies here and pay for their food stamps. Pay for, and that's another thing too.
I agree. I don't like the welfare.
I'm paying for an Apple.
Yeah, I don't
I'm not
like
paying
the welfare.
For their kids' education.
I totally agree. The welfare is you have to be a citizen to get welfare. That's just absurd.
Yeah.
But we're incredibly hypocritical in this sense with national security, for instance. You know, we have to check your emails, we have to check your phones, and all this intrusive, completely unconstitutional things that are. In the Fourth Amendment, it spells it out. You're not allowed to do this. Oh, we have to do it. When it comes to the border and people coming in who we don't know, it's incredible how their feet drag because they have different priorities. That's not really their priority is national security. It's about social control.
And okay? I'm for being the melting pot. I am being for opportunity. But you know what? It's enough because you know what? The harsh reality is, even though...
You could have legal immigration, you're saying.
Legal, exactly.
I just want to point that out. You mean legal immigration, right?
Do it the right way. My parents came here.
It's like the point he made. He has to go to Mexico. We have to go into Canada to work.
Oh, I totally agree.
We have
agree.
To do it by legal standards, but it seems like here we have the door open. Hey, sure, why no problem?
And then you have.
You're not going to get punished.
You're right.
And you have legal immigrants coming.
We need
driver's license now because we need to get around. You know, we need to get around in this country. Well, excuse me. And then they come here and they think they're privileged and they should have every right that we get. Wait a minute. Stand in line. You know what I mean? And
don't cut in front of us. Get in the back of the line like everybody else, and just wait your turn, type of thing.
You know, and I'm surrounded by stories, and I feel for the people that struggle. There's people that had to come in from not even from Mexico. They have to come from
are coming from Syria now.
Yeah,
and then
I heard that about the Syrians that come over
here.
Like, wait a minute,
we're only landing 10,000 though. Like in terms of quota, that is so minimal. Like,
but I mean,
millions of people leaving. We're taking 10,000. Like I'm not. I'll put it this way. There's a 2% immigration quota, and it's for legal immigration. Okay, so we have quotas, and it's jumped like 200 million in like 100 years, which is insane. Our population. Okay, so part of the argument is like, oh, we've always been accepting of immigrants. Totally true. 100% true. Okay. The problem is, like, when my ancestors came in, like, 1900, there was, like, 75 million people here. Now there's 320-some-odd people, million people, excuse me, and we actually have, like, social welfare programs that are in place because we already have an economy that can't necessarily sustain our population. And we're just bringing in more and more. And we just have a very bleeding heart attitude. And that's what the liberals are very, the bleeding hearts. And the Republicans are generally the cold. And the Republicans are generally just the cold, you know, cut spending, think rationally and look at it like a balance sheet. And I think we've just kind of, I don't want to say become too empathetic and just, you know, our hearts are bleeding too much. But we've kind of lost sight of the pragmatism necessary to keep our country going because we're $20 trillion in debt.
Yeah. And the debt. We bunch of stuff that we can get into, but...
Gentlemen, let me just say, thank you again. This was fun.
No.
I can't tell you how... Okay?
I am so happy.
We had a fantastic political discussion.
Yeah, we didn't
kill each other. Brian got involved.
Yes.
Okay?
That's a huge shock that I got involved. We do this all the time. We just don't do it on the air or on the microphone.
No, Brian just observes, and then he just will react. I mean, Brian's very passionate.
He's very passionate
about this stuff, but he's just more of a...
That's what I know he is.
Because I want to hear other sides of it. And I've always wanted to have a...
I'm going to end with this comment with you, because you said you watch one news show. Okay, I'm going to say very quickly. This is what I do. Listen to everything, and then make up your own mind. Read Fox News, read CNN, read MSNBC, read InfoWars.
Yeah.
Okay? And then decide where the truth lies. Because none of them tell you the whole truth. So do it. I would just, you know, whenever you have a minute on your phone, look up, when you read one article, always look up an opposing view of the article and then make your mind up. That's generally the best
thing. Yeah, it's the best thing you can tell somebody.
Matt, thank you so much for coming on. We hope to have you on again before the whole political stuff happens. Guys, you've been listening to The High Spot with Jeff Martin. I am Brian Berger. He is Matt Fox. Hit us up on Twitter @HighSpotPodcast, and we'll catch you next week. Take care.